So last week we started the sermon series called Overflow. And bingo! And it's all about the overflowing love of God and how God wants to pour into your life so much that it would overflow into the lives of others through your generosity. Last week we talked about how it is more blessed to give than receive. When I think of giving, I always think of Christmas. I think of my mama sitting on the couch with probably a cup of hot chocolate or something and telling me as a child, go open that gift, and that gift goes with that gift, and that gift goes with that gift, and so happy of the gifts that she was giving to others. But I think of us, bingo, exactly. Thank y'all for joining in on this. If you will hold on to your bingo cards until the end, I have a sweet treat for you. So what you'll do is you're going to meet me at the back here shortly once it's all over, and I will have something for you. So I live in that space of it is more blessed to give than to receive, that it's more blessed to help others. We're watching this right now in how we're giving to food banks and giving to families in need and giving to these individuals on Tuesday night where we're just feeding them a hot meal. To be fair, it's Little Caesar's pizza. It's something that for so many seems so easy, but yet for these individuals, it brings life to some dry bones. So it is more blessed to give than to receive. But today, I want to talk about us living beyond just ownership and what it looks like to steward well. What it looks like to steward well. For us, you've been given some sort of talent, some sort of way of earning finances, some sort of way of having these gifts in your life that God is asking you to steward. And one of the funny stories I've ever heard about kind of the vision of stewarding was the story of this TV show. They went to this house because they saw this giant house with this great big pasture, this great big parking area, and they wanted to film their TV show there. And so they go up to the owners of the home or the people that are at the house, and they say, hey, we'd like to film our TV show because you've got this pasture, and that would be a really cool action scene that we want to film for this TV show. And this house is gorgeous, and we want to film on the porch, and we want to do all these things. And the people at the house said, yeah, come on. And they signed the contract. Well, little did they know that the people that were owning the home, that were at the home, were not the owners. They were the renters. And so they said yes, but the TV series comes in, this beautifully manicured lawn, perfect for this action scene. As filming began, the lawn was destroyed, and the real owner, living in New York City, was furious and sued the TV series because the TV series had confused possession with ownership. Possession with ownership. And that's what stewarding and stewardship is all about. See, if we honestly see our life the way it's intended to, God is the owner. God is the owner of it all. We are the stewards of that which he has given us. And the difference between the two of these things, owner and steward, can be summed up in two words for us. Those being rights and responsibilities. Rights and responsibilities. The reason these two words are important is because if you understand these in light of what God is calling you to, you'll understand them better. In the sense of, if you want to live a life that is overflowing with God's presence, well, then you will learn to surrender our rights but embrace our responsibility. Surrender our rights and embrace our responsibility. See, we have this in us. I mean, when we really learn that it all belongs to the Lord, things begin to shift. One of the ways that this has lived true in my life recently is with our men's group that meets on Thursday nights. Originally, that men's group kind of spawned out of a group of guys in our church saying in February, we believe God's doing something among the men of our church. We want to gather together as a way of holding each other accountable, but also diving deeper into the life of that which we live and being a church family that really invite each other to be around the table and open up about our hurts, our concerns, and the areas where we may feel that God is absent. But it didn't all of a sudden come to fruition. I mean, we didn't start meeting in February. The ground was just beginning to be tilled, and we ended up, a group of us, about five men, gathered together, and we prayed together for what this opportunity could look like. And we spent from February to September kind of determining what that looks like, and we learned that it all belonged to God in the first place. that, God, we can't do anything with this group of men. We can't do anything with this specific study if you don't begin tilling the ground in the heart of the guys in our church already. If you don't start preparing the way for us to have a space to meet, a time to meet, a time to gather. And so we learned very quickly that none of that was actually us. It was all the Lord. To where in September we started meeting, and this last Thursday night, we had about 12 to 14 of us in the room gathered, going through life together and studying God's Word. But it's all because we learned it all belonged to God in the first place. When you do this, God, when you really understand that it all belongs to the Lord, it shifts your prayer mentality. It shifts the way you focus on the things that God has given you. It shifts the way that you give. It shifts the way that you love others. It shifts everything. I mean, when you really see everything that belongs to you, that you think you own, as just belonging to the Lord, actually, instead, it changes the script. And we see this in Scripture. We actually see a story that Jesus shares very, very, I would almost say aggressively, but very purposefully. He shares about this parable of the talents. You've heard this story before. In Matthew chapter 25, Jesus speaks of this master who's giving away his talents. And he says this, "Again, it will be like a man going on a journey, who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, and to another 2 bags, to another 1, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey, and the man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work, gained 5 bags more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more bags. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. And he said, 'Master, you've entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness.' Then the man who had received 1 bag of gold came, and he's, 'Master,' he said, 'I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you.' His master replied, 'You wicked and lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I don't sow and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well, then you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back at least with interest. So take the bag of gold.' He took the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." So Jesus tells this story of the man on the journey, the master who's leaving things for his servants. He leaves these gifts and talents. He entrusts them with his property, the thing that he owns. He gives 5 talents, 2 talents, and 1. The first 2 invest theirs wisely and double their return. The third is fearful and hesitant and buries his talent into the ground. When the master returns, the ones who were faithful, he says, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. To you whom much is given, you'll be given even more. Come and share in your master's joy." To the one, bingo, to the one servant that hid it, he said, "You lazy and wicked servant." How pointed is this conversation? I mean, how amazing is it to see that in this parable, God is asking, the character of the master is saying, do something with what I've given you. Don't just white knuckle hide it. Don't just shove it away for no one to see, but instead do something with it. Steward it well. The parable reveals this deep truth that we should live with, is that God's kingdom operates on stewardship, not ownership. God's kingdom operates on us doing something with what we've been given. It's not just holding on to it. This is why we challenge you as believers to work out your faith with fear and trembling, to be discipled, to be cared for at a deeper level. Don't just say, well, I know Jesus is, so I'm good. My ultimate takesy-backsies is going to be fine at the end of days. No, work it out. Do something with the gifts he's given you, the finances he's given you, the generous heart he's given you. Every one of us is entrusted with something, whether it be time, talent, treasure, influence, or for me, what hits pretty hard is even my children. And we're asked to steward this well. What we do with it determines whether we live in lack or overflow. And I see this monthly. When we go to serve other people, when I watch members of our church family lay it on the line of saying, none of this belongs to me, all of this is you. Some of the greatest examples of these are two people that I see that sit up front most weeks, but it's Steve and Laura Ann. I get to watch them serve in ways with Rose Hill that they give everything that they possibly can to help those who need help the most. And it's amazing to just watch them emulate, Lord, all I have is yours. Take what you need for your kingdom. We see this through Rose Hill. We see this in CSU Wesley. Like Juana's been a part of CSU Wesley with me for many years. And you see where like the love of the church out here that may not be in that room with them on a Monday night is shown so deeply when you have college students who are raising their hands in the name of Jesus and saying yes, because we offer something that's never ours in the first place. And we trust that God's going to work in the midst of it. You've got Valley Rescue Mission, where those men came and worshiped with us a couple of Sundays ago, but we've been investing some time, and I got the chance to spend Wednesday up there teaching a class this last week, and I watched as these men who have literally nothing, there's three of them that are graduating, I think, tomorrow. They're going to be graduating this week, and they are effectively homeless. They have nowhere else to go. They're going to be living downtown at the Howard Mott Center, the homeless men's area, while they get there on their feet. And the Valley Rescue Mission is going to be providing for them. But for them, just the act of us sharing just some time to say, you matter, you belong to the Lord. It's stewarding the thing that God gave us. I could sit there on a Saturday and watch all day football and enjoy every minute of it. Or I could be serving. I could be stewarding. I mean, just as examples, I could be stewarding things differently. For us, I believe it's just important that we see ourselves in God's kingdom, that he has given you something, time, talent, treasure, whatever it may be, to be stewarded well. And so I think there's three principles when it comes to stewarding stuff well that we have to take seriously. The first principle is this: God owns everything. Let's stop pretending that we own anything. I know that you may have a deed to the car. I know that you have the receipt where you purchased it. One of my favorite jokes, and I'm going to share it because I'm a dad joke fiend, but one of my favorite jokes is this lady was really hungry. She needed some food. You've probably heard this joke before because it's one of my favorites and I share it all the time. Her neighbor was an atheist. He knew that she was hungry. And so he went to the store, he bought the groceries, and he put them on the front porch for her. Well, she comes out the door, and she sees the groceries, and she goes, "Oh, God did it, God did it, God did it. He answered our prayers. And the neighbor's like, I know I did it, and he hadn't popped out yet to tell her. And so she starts continuing to say, God did it, God did it, God did it. And the neighbor finally pops out and goes, "Ha-ha, see, I did it. Here's the receipt. Your God's not real. I paid for it." And she just says, "God did it, God did it, God did it." And he says, are you a ding-dong? Like, I've got the receipt right here. And she said, "Well, God did it, and he made the devil pay for it." And so it's the greatest example of we don't own any of it. It's all God's in the first place. We don't own anything. God owns everything. Scripture will actually say this. It's Psalm 24, verse 1. Psalm 24 begins, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it." And so if we're going to walk in the way of overflow, if you really want to see God pour out in such a way that it just overflows into every area of life and you experience life and life abundantly, it's understanding this at a significant level. that nothing you have belongs to you. It is all the Lord's. Every gift, every talent, he gave that to you. Your money, your home, your breath, your opportunities, even your children belong to the Lord. And we are called to be managers of what he has placed in our care. And so when it comes to that, I question, how are you doing? How do we steward that which God owns? Are we taking care of his property, or are we honestly tearing it to shreds? Even the way you talk about yourself. I was talking to some guys earlier this week. We put ourselves down a lot. Are you speaking about God's property in a way that he would want? Are you speaking about what God owns? Probably property is probably not the right word. You're speaking about the things that God owns in a way that uplifts or tears down. Overflow begins with this perspective. When you see that it all belongs to God, you stop asking the questions of, God, how much do I have to do? God, how much do I have to give? God, how much do I have to be involved? And it shifts your thinking to saying, Lord, how can I use what you've given me to bring glory? How can I use what you have placed before me to honor you well? How can I be a parent that honors you well? How can I be a teacher that honors you well? I mean, it shifts the conversation for yourself when you know that it all belongs to the Lord and you're called to steward it. The second principle is this. God's work is sustained by God's people. God's work is sustained by God's people. And honestly, this is really cool if you think about it, is that God gives us the opportunity to be active participants in his kingdom. He gives us the opportunity to have a role in that which he is a part of. From Exodus to Acts, we see this in the church world. God's work has always been funded by God's people. God's work has always been procured and taken care of and done by God's people. The beauty of overflow in our lives is this. It's not about equal amounts, but it's about the equal sacrifice. Like, we're called to sacrifice for the Lord. I'm sorry that the Christian group that you think of when you think of following Jesus is just blessings abundant and abundant, and you're going to have more and more and more. We're actually called to sacrifice for the Lord, to lay our wants at the foot of the cross for someone else, to lay our heart posture at the foot of the cross for someone else. We are called that is the greatest joy. That's the most hope, is that when you're willing to set yourself aside for another, that is true love. And so God's work is sustained by God's people. We see this in Scripture consistently. We see that the beauty is that it's in equal sacrifice, not equal amounts. We see this in the story of the widow who gave the 2 coins, but she gave more than anyone else because it says her heart overflowed with trust in the Lord. I mean, how amazing is it to see that we're bringing all of ourselves to all of God who owned it in the first place? And I'll be very honest, God doesn't need your money. We at the Ridge, we don't need your money. If you believe in a way, if you think that there's some rupee in your crown because you give generously in such a specific way, God and we do not, we're not trying to burden you with giving. But what we ask is, will you be generous of heart? Will you join us in the story that God is writing right here? Will you be generous in the way that God is working right here in this local context? And God says that for his kingdom. He gives us the opportunity to steward well that which he has given us so that we can be an active participant in what God is working in. And so we see that for us, when it comes to giving, when it comes to stewarding specifically finances, we want to say to the Lord, we believe that 90% with your blessing is vastly better than 100% without. We believe that 90% with your blessing is better than 100% without. Because overflow in your life does not come from hoarding or white knuckling, it comes from releasing. And then finally, we see that in Proverbs, this is shared. It says, one person gives freely yet gains even more. The ability of giving and gaining more from it. It is better to more blessed to give than to receive. When you live with closed fists, you stop the flow that God can do. But when you open your hands, when you live the generous lifestyle, God pours through you into others. We see this in generosity in which we're at right now. For example, This last week, I've been able to give out multiple gift cards for our families who are in need of help with their groceries. And this week, I gave out for three different families with kids these gift cards. And I cannot share with you the tears that were shed, the hope that was offered. And for specifically two of these families, they shared, I had no idea the church, my church, wanted to love me in the hardest moment that I've ever walked through. I didn't know my church was willing to be here in a way that I never even thought was possible in this moment in time. And so to be able to watch that is us stewarding what God has done well, us being able to be a part of that. It's amazing to be able to be a part of that. What we give to goes to that, to help others. It doesn't come to just be held on tight, but instead it's given to be let go of and to bless holistically. And so it's amazing to be able to watch these things and be an active participant in what God is doing. It's exciting when you get to play that role. And so we're called to do it. The final principle is this, and this is the harder one to hear. God holds every person accountable. If you think that like all this is just nice stuff that we got to talk about and, oh yeah, this is one of those Sundays that we're going to talk about stewardship. Awesome. No, God holds us accountable, friends. Daniel Weber is famously quoted as saying, the most profound thought I've ever had is that I'm individually accountable to the Almighty God. One day, each of us will stand before the Lord and we're going to give an account. We're going to give an account for every word that was said. We're going to give an account for all the things, but we're not going to be given an account for how much money we made or how much we held on to tight. We're going to be having to give an account for how we managed what God entrusted to us. So how are we doing? How are you stewarding that which God has given you? Are you stewarding it with Scrooge McDuck mentality of holding on tight because one day I want to be able to swim in my safe of gold? I mean, how are we doing here? We're going to have to stand accountable. He's going to ask us, how did you manage what's been entrusted? The master in this parable that we read, he didn't compare this servant to that servant. He didn't look at the five and say, well, I gave you five because of this, and I gave two here. He didn't compare them at all, but he did measure their faithfulness. He measured their faithfulness. He said he was so glad that the servants took what they had and they used it and they were obedient in it. He was so glad that they did that rather than just holding on tight. Overflow for us, if you want to see it, it's not about prosperity, but it's about obedience. It's about allowing God to really use you, to steward well, to use your gifts, your talents, and your treasures, and be held accountable for that. And so that's the sobering reality, is that we are going to have to be accountable for what we do. And I'm going to be honest with you all. I don't want to get to the end of my days sitting on a bedpan, wishing I woulda. That's just not who I am. I would rather look like a fool in the name of Jesus right now than to wish later that I'd have done something different. And so I want to challenge you all to understand the accountability that you're going to be held to because you're going to have to give an account for what you've done. And so how do we get to this way of overflow where it's overflowing into our lives, where God's grace is overflowing in such a way that we are generous of all accounts with our times, our treasures, our talents, and our gifts? First, we've got to just recognize that God owns everything. He does. It is His, and it is His to give glory for. God owns it all. Secondly, we've got to respond by giving faithfully to His work. You are challenged to give somehow. I was sharing with someone before this service, there's a nonprofit in town that they generously and love to give to because they know the good. And I was like, yes and amen. That's amazing. Thank you for helping people. But we're called to give to His work, the work of God. I encourage you to give to a local church expression. I would love, you know, if this is your church, we're called. It's part of kind of those membership vows. Will you serve us with your gifts, your talents, your treasure, your presence, and your prayers, your presence, and your witness? We're called to do that. And then remember that you're accountable for how you live and give. Overflow is not about what leaves your hand, but it's about what fills your heart. It's the joy and the gratitude and the thrill of partnering with the Lord in what he does, of partnering with the Lord in giving to others, of partnering with the Lord in all the ways that he wants to love someone outside of yourself. When the master says in that parable, enter into the joy of your master, he's not rewarding the results, but he's inviting relationship. That passage, the parable where he says, well done, my good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your master, it's not to say, oh, attaboy. That's not what that is. Instead, it says, come and partake of what we have. Come and partake. Be a part of what the master is building. Be a part of the master's home. It actually even goes higher than that because it calls a servant out of servanthood and into the home of the master. And so that's what God's asking us to do, is that when you are stewarding your space well, when you are stewarding your things well, God's saying, come and enjoy what it means to help those in need. Come and enjoy what it means to give gift cards to those who need groceries. Come and enjoy what it is to serve Little Caesar's Pizza to families that are hurting. I mean, come and enjoy with your master. And I've seen this personally in my life. One of the greatest ways I've seen this just in recent times is that you will know one of my best friends took his own life in 2022. It was in December of 2022. It was completely unexpected. And he left a 30-year-old widow and a 1-year-old child behind. But I watched as the church did what only the church can do. And they loved in a completely radical, unexpected way. And so this young lady who was all of a sudden a widow at 30 years old with no job, because she was a housewife and a mom for their son, was all of a sudden for the next 4 months, I think it was, brought a meal every single day by the church family. There was also a group of ladies who would go out and clean the house because they wanted to help. And they thought that that would take some stress off of her, and it did. There was one lady who had, her grandkids were old, her kids were old. She had you know, helped in so many ways with the young kids around her that she decided to bless this young lady by saying, I'm going to cover this child's schooling and daycare until that child gets into elementary school. And so this 1-year-old is all of a sudden in daycare for the foreseeable future until they go to school. And it was something that she just wanted to cover price-wise. And it was something that, like, I watched the church just be radically generous. It made no sense. This was a young lady and a young man and a child who had not been in church very long, didn't really do a whole lot of stuff. I mean, the young man grew up with me in church, but he had just gotten back involved in the church. But I watched as the church looked completely different. And they did things that made no sense, but for this young lady, she will share even to this day, she has no idea where she would be if the church had not stepped up in a radical way to make sure she never left the face of Jesus, make sure she never left the church family. They would even go out on weekends when she didn't have the strength to get to church because she was terrified because her husband used to play bass in the band and she was afraid of sitting in the same room. They would go offer church at home to her, just to be the outstretched arm of Jesus. And so that's what stewarding you what you have well. That's reaching out and being the hands and feet to the broken world who desperately need Jesus. And so God is looking at you. He's looking at me. He's looking at all of us. And he's saying, what have you done with what I've given you? Have you stewarded it well? Because living in overflow, living understanding the generosity of Christ is not just a sermon series, but it is a lifestyle. It is trusting in God enough that you open your hands to the world and say, Lord, all of it belongs to you. How can I serve more? And so we shouldn't live like the servant who buried his gift, but instead live like those who invested what they were given. Because when you live in the way of overflow, you discover that to everyone who has more, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. So I think, church, let's be a people of overflow, wholehearted stewards, faithful servants, and joyful givers in what we do. Let's put what God has given us to work until he returns again. And I leave you with the final question I want to ask is, when you look at your life, when you look at your, maybe it is your finances, maybe it is your talent, maybe it is your time, whatever it may be, if God were to hold you accountable for that right now, what would your response be? If God showed up and said, what have you done with what I've given you? Would you respond like the servant who hid it and said, Lord, I wanted to make sure I gave you back what you had? Or would we have the joy to say, God, I've used it as much as possible. I've doubled this thing. I have gone on to share and to use and to give. How would you respond? Because I believe that we as a church are being challenged in this moment. We're being challenged in our nation today to be a church body, a believer in Jesus Christ, that stands with hands open rather than fists clenched. And so I challenge you today, if you want to steward well, then we need to understand it all belongs to the Lord, that you are called to be a part of the faith in giving, and that you will be held accountable for the way you steward it further. And so let today be a day that changes those things for you. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, conversations on stewardship are always difficult, but I praise you that it all belongs to you anyway. Lord, you can take it all. You can have it all. It is all yours. For some reason, God, I think so often we think that we have to cling tight for all these different reasons of worry, to be fair, God. Most of the time, the greatest fears we have are either worry or pride at work when it comes to our generosity, whether it's our time, our talents, or our treasures. And so, Lord, would you captivate us with your mission today? Would you allow us as a church body to come alive in that which you are doing? And can we see, Lord, the privilege it is that we get to come alongside you and be the hands and feet, that God is calling each and every one of us to be an active participant in his mission? And so could we just run headlong into that, no matter what it looks like? Lord, I pray that we may be encouraged to be radical givers of our time, our talents, and our treasures. I pray that we are encouraged to use our gifts in our church local expression, that we're not afraid anymore of I can't commit or I can't do, but instead we come alive because the gospel message is needed. We are watching as brokenness is going to remain, Lord. It says in Scripture that we will have trouble. It's going to be here. And so, Lord, we have the opportunity and the power of the gospel to shift things for the kingdom of the Lord. So let us be great stewards of that which you have given us. I pray that none of us are like the man who buries it, but instead we invest and invest well. Thank you, God, for all the ways you love us, you care for us, and you are here with us in this space. It's in the name of Jesus I pray all these things. Amen.